And that, knowing the time, that now is high time, to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast out the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'd like to begin by thanking God on behalf of Ken and Dart. I think Jocelyn mentioned it briefly last week, that Ken and Dart celebrated 33 years in the ordained ministry this past Friday. 33 years. That's older than I am. So I'm exceptionally grateful to God for the ministry of Ken and Dart. And I think we all have a testimony to how God has used this man for his ministry. And so if you're able to, please shake his hand after Mass and do say a prayer for him as the Lord continues to guide him on in his ministry. Thank you. To paraphrase a meditation of Robert Krauss, Anglican spirituality is fundamentally liturgical. It is a form of spiritual life grounded in worship and realized through worship. A spiritual life molded by the Word of God conveyed to us through the cycle of the liturgical year. It is the liturgical structure of declaring the Word of God day by day, week by week, year by year, that has molded the intellect and emotions of Anglican Christianity. This pattern has endured, essentially unaltered, through millennia, extending into this, our own present generation. In this liturgical year, Advent is the very first season of the calendar. Therefore, it is fitting to say, and Canon Dart beat me to it, Happy New Year! Happy New Year to you all. The Advent season is multidimensional. It looks backward in time to the coming of the Son of God as a child at the incarnation over 2,000 years ago. It also looks forward to the end of time, to the consummation of history in the coming of the Son of God as the judge. Christ incarnate, Christ judge. These dimensions of Advent, however, are not merely historical or eschatological facts. The purpose of Advent is to prepare our hearts in a penitential manner, as God's children, to then respond to him by faithfully committing ourselves, our souls, our bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice for him. So the Advent season, which we begin today, creates space for us to prepare our hearts to respond to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ's love and sacrifice, which shall be revealed perfectly at the Feast of the Nativity, Christmas Day. How can we prepare, though, during this season? Well, much like most of us already do on December 31st and January 1st, by creating New Year resolutions. We can use a similar tactic in this regard by resolving to create a rule of life that will guide us deeper in this spiritual journey that we're on. A simple place to begin is in the observance of the liturgical life of the church, both in corporate worship, as we're doing here right now, committing to attending Mass, and also committing to the daily office, doing daily morning and evening prayer. I would also venture and say we can commit as well. You know, we mentioned during this penitential season we'll be doing prayers for healing masses upon those who are sick. The sacraments, holy unction, confession is a good way to commit to in this rule of life that guides us deeper during this season as we anticipate the birth of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We also see in the propers for this Sunday a clearly defined way of resisting the ways of darkness and holding fast to the ever-living God. In the collect for the day, we find a perfect summation of both the epistle and gospel lesson, which clearly demarcate a path in which all we Christians ought to follow. The collect says, Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light. There are countless verses in the Holy Scriptures that talk about our Lord Jesus Christ being the light, and how we too, because of him, ought to be the light of the world, that city on a hill. Being of the light isn't a one-time decision. Rather, it's a daily decision to commit ourselves to the light. Oftentimes, let's think about it, right? Last week we had a baptism here. Baptism is the primary sacrament, right? It's one of the two sacraments instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we believe that through baptism we are regenerate, we gain salvation, we are born again. But it doesn't end there. Imagine the little girl, Lillian May, who we baptized last week. Imagine if she's like, I'm baptized, that's it. Said to, you know. It wouldn't make sense. I mean, most of us are not infants that are seated in here, right? There's an Anglican theologian called L.S. Thornton. He talks about this double polarity when it comes to baptism. He talks about baptism being finite. It's like it's complete in and of itself. The child that's baptized, is fully saved. However, it's a germ, it's a seed that's been planted into this child that ought to be watered, that ought to be continuously, you know, like farming metaphors, right? You till the ground, you continue to water the plant in hopes that it will grow and sprout. And this is where the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist comes in. It is as well a sacrament by our Lord Jesus Christ. Eat this flesh, this is my flesh, this is my body. And therefore, baptism is the start point. It is fully, full in and of itself, right? It's this already not yet. It is full, but it still needs to be worked on. Similarly, in this journey that we're on, especially in Advent, we ought to till the ground. We ought to work on our salvation. We ought to water the seed that's been planted in hopes as we prepare ourselves for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Thornton says about this double polarity. From one point of view, the great transformation in the Christian life has already taken place once for all in baptism. We have been made partakers of Christ in the fullest sense. From another point of view, the greatest transformation exists only in germ in each of us. Its fruition lies in the future, and we are summoned to seek that fruition. As I mentioned during Advent, we have the opportunity to create a rule of life that can help guide us on in this spiritual journey. A rule of life that can help us continue to, you know, make sure that that seed that's been planted comes to fruition. Talked about the daily office, continuing to come to Mass. We also have, you know, Bible studies here at Christ Church. That might be one thing that you might consider coming to as you work in your own journey leading up to becoming a better Christian, a better man, woman, child of God. The Collect continues to say, now in the time of this mortal life, Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life. In the midst of our mortal existence, characterized by its finite nature, Advent becomes a poignant opportunity for reflection. The recent farewell to one of our parishioners serves as a stark reminder of life's impermanence. Yesterday we had a burial office for one of the pioneers of Christ's Anglican Church. He was here at one point, he was a giant of the faith, he helped start this church, but he is no more. And this is a trait that we all share. Right? Regardless of how old, how young we are, life is fleeting. This life we live is but finite, and Advent prompts us to number our days, applying our hearts to wisdom and faithfully following Christ in this mortal life. Life is not eternal on this side of glory, and we ought to keep that in mind. As the psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And there is no better way to think about our life as a finite thing than looking to Jesus Christ, the infinite being, the eternal being who brought eternal life to us, if only we can accept it. Right? And Advent, I believe, gives us a chance to think of life in that way. Because we're looking forward to Christmas Day. We're looking forward to the nativity of our blessed Lord. And he never dies. His life isn't finite like ours. And he welcomes us into his infiniteness, into his eternalness. And we get a chance during Advent to think about that and to work towards bettering our spiritual life, focusing more on Jesus Christ, being penitent in our own lives, seeking to come out of darkness. Or if, you know, a few weeks ago, Deacon Harrah talked about, what did he call it? Functional atheism, I believe. You know, in which we are Christians in name only. And that ought not to be a character trait of us Christians. We cannot be Christians in name only. That's an oxymoron, right? Because Christ, to be in Christ, is to be alive, is to flee from darkness into the light, to put on the armor of light, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. So this Advent season, let us take that upon ourselves. Let's allow ourselves to be immersed fully in Jesus Christ as we look forward to the big celebration that's to come. But as we trek through this period, through this season, let us open our hearts. Let us be penitential. Let us rely on God. Let's commit to a rule of life in which our hearts can be pruned and tilled and our seeds watered as we seek to grow deeper and deeper in Jesus Christ. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness. Put upon us the armor of light now in the time of this mortal life, in which thy Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the quick and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, now and ever. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.